Well, good morning to each one of you. It's such a blessing to be here this morning, and I'm not saying that lightly. It's actually a miracle that we are here this morning because last year, around June, I forget the. It was more towards the beginning of June that I found out that I have cancer, and so we didn't actually know the extent of that, but we knew it was severe because it had metastasized to my liver and my lung, and so it wasn't just in one place; it already had started to spread, and it was a fast-growing cancer. And when we arrived in Orlando from Brazil, I went directly to the ER because things were not well. And so I did tests, and so the doctor said, after looking at all the tests and everything, he said, well, you have weeks to live. You have weeks to live. If you don't do anything about this, you have only weeks to live. So it was a big change in our lives, as you can imagine. And we are just wanting to praise the Lord and to lift up His name, because He has sustained us. The Lord has given us life, and we're here today, and it's only because of Him, His miracle in our lives. And I began to have chemo treatment there shortly after that, and the Lord used that, and I'm still taking chemo now, but the cancer is stable, the doctor says, and so we're just praising the Lord for that. And so He said, you're going to have cancer the rest of your life. Well, that's except if the Lord removes it, right, and takes it away. But we just are here to praise the Lord, and we want to thank you. Thank you so very much for your prayers. We cannot thank you enough for your financial gifts, and you don't know how much of an encouragement you are to us, and you have been all through these years. We still remember meeting at the church there near the stadium, and so that's I'm not sure how long ago that is, 15, 20 years ago or more. I'm not sure, but anyway, you folks have been with us through the years as we've been there in Brazil, and we are here to praise the Lord along with you, and to thank you. Thank you so very much. You are such a blessing in our lives. And this morning I would like for us to look at a portion of Scripture. First of all, it's always good, first of all, to look in His Word and to glean what He wants us to teach us. And so I would encourage you, or invite you, to look with me in 2 Kings chapter 6. And after we share in the Word, then we like to share what the Lord has been doing in our lives the last number of years in Brazil, and how the Lord is leading us now as we're in this new phase in our lives where we are facing these health problems. And Gene also, I might mention that it was discovered a month ago that Gene has a tumor in her head, her ear, except it's close to the brain. It's at three nerve endings, and so it's in a sensitive place where you really can't do surgery because it has a high risk of affecting those nerves. But anyway, it's something new that we're learning to trust the Lord with, and it's not cancerous though, and that's really good, and we're praising the Lord for that. And the specialist who we met with is telling us that she would like us to wait till December and take another MRI, and then we can see how it's going, if it's growing or if it's just stable. They say that 50% of those tumors just they don't grow anymore. They grow for a while and then they stop. So who knows what the Lord has with that. But anyway, we would appreciate your prayers. But so let's, first of all, this morning, let's look in 2 Kings chapter 6. And a story here that you all, I'm sure, know, have heard about this. Anyway, it's a story of the Syrians, or in some translations it's called the Armenians, had taken control of the city of Samaria in this context. So the Syrian army has taken control of this Samaria city, and they are holding everyone in their hostage. And they will not let anybody out or anybody in. And so the city, after a long period of time, the city is in famine. They do not have food. And it's a famine that it's hard for me, and I know it's hard for you to understand how much of a famine it is. But let's look at this in chapter 6, 2 Kings chapter 6, and we start reading in verse 26. It says, "Then as the king of Israel was passing high on a wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, 'Help my lord, O king.' And he said, 'If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you?'" He questions, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.'" Do you see what kind of anguish and what kind of famine this is? I can't even imagine this. I mean, can you? Of getting to this point of famine where you decide to eat your own son or daughter. This is really amazing. This is so much removed from what at least I have experienced in my lifetime. And yet this was the context of these people and the Syrian army on the outside. Well, let's move on to chapter 7 in verse 3. And it says, "Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, 'We are sitting here in, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians.'" So we have these four leprous men, and this is their situation. If we stay here, we're going to die of the famine. If we go into the city, we're going to die because there's famine there. And so they said, "Well, why don't we just surrender? If they kill us, we're going to die. It's what's going to happen anyway. And yet there might be a chance they'll allow us to live." And so this is what they do. The next morning they get up and they go to the Syrian army and they're going to surrender. And they get to the first tent and there is nobody there. There is nobody there. Can you imagine the excitement in their hearts as they think, "Well, where is the Syrian army? They're not even here." And we pick up the story here in verse 5. So chapter 7, verse 5, and it says, "They rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against us kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. And so they hear this loud noise. The Lord had performed a miracle. And this army heard all these chariots coming in this army, and it was just all this noise, and they knew that somehow they had gotten this army together from other nations and everything, and they were coming, and they were going to kill them. So they fled. They left everything behind in their tents. And so here these four lepers are. And so they get to the first tent, and there's no one there. And they look inside, and they see food, and they haven't eaten in who knows how long. I mean, can you imagine this? Food. And they find food. And they find silver and gold, and it says they found clothes. Now, I was looking at this, and I thought, well, this is really interesting. They found clothes, and they thought, well, there's clothes here. Well, lepers are outcasts, aren't they? And that's why they were at the gate. They were not allowed in the city. And so there they were, and they found food, silver and gold, and they found clothes. And so here they are. They're hauling some of this stuff out, and they're thinking, can you imagine? We have eaten so long, and they're eating, and they're looking at all this stuff. And so let's go on in the story here. In chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "And then they said one to another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent." And so they're saying, here we are. We saw what the Lord has done. I don't know what happened to the Syrian army, but they're gone. And we have food everywhere. And we are not doing right to keep this to ourselves. We need to tell somebody. We need to tell somebody. And we need all of our friends and all the people that we know, we need to tell them. And so how can we apply this today to us? Well, before we knew Christ as our Savior, before we believed in Christ as our Savior, we were lost, weren't we? We were lost in our sins, and we were just as hopeless as those four lepers. I mean, those four lepers had a hopeless situation. Hopeless indeed. And we also, when we were lost in our sin, and we were on our way to hell, we were in a hopeless, hopeless situation. But then the Lord performed a miracle. Just like he performed a miracle to the Israelites there in the city of Samaria, he has performed a miracle in our lives. And Christ has come, and he was crucified on the cross, and he rose from the dead. And it says that whoever believes in him has eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but has everlasting life. So we have now the good news. Well, it's not even good news. It's great news. It's the greatest news ever. I mean, these four lepers had good news to share because they had found food, silver and gold and clothes and everything that they needed, except all those things are going to someday go away. Except for us, eternal life is going to last forever. And we have eternal blessings. It's just not food and silver and gold that's going to, it's going to rush, it's going to corrode, it's going to be gone someday. And clothes, of course, is a perishable thing, but not the blessings that we have in Christ. The blessings that we have in Christ are eternal. They're everlasting. They will not go away. And two of the truths, I want to share this with you. If you don't remember anything else about this morning, two truths that have been a blessing to us as we've been going through these health problems, And I come to face the fact that I might not live very long. Two truths that helped us so much. And one is that God loves us with an everlasting love. His love is everlasting. It's eternal. That song that says, His love will never fail. In so many other songs that we know, His love will never give up on us. In so many other songs that we know in His Word that teaches us that God's love is eternal. And we cannot earn it. If we were to do something good, well, would the Lord love us more? No. He loves us 100% all the time. And how about if we sin? So then does He love us less? No. He loves us 100% all the time. Isn't that amazing? He loves us. And we cannot do anything if we were to sin. He doesn't love us less. He loves us with that everlasting love. Isn't that amazing? And the other truth, the second truth that has been such a blessing to us is the fact that His plans are good and His plans are perfect. In Romans 12, it says His will is good and it's perfect. And it's acceptable or reasonable. And here we are. So the second truth that has been a blessing in our lives is the fact that God has a plan for us that's good and it's perfect. I don't understand it all. And even in the face of cancer and a tumor that Jean has, and all these things going on in our lives, and we don't know what's ahead for us, except that we know that He loves us and that His plans are good and His plans are perfect. I mean, how can you improve on that? How can you improve on that? Of someone who loves you with an everlasting love? And He's going to care for you always, all through your lives. And it's a promise to you. And it's a promise to me. As someone who has this eternal love for all of us, He's going to do everything He can to care for us. Sir, we're going to go through hard times. We all do. No matter where you are, if you're in Brazil, if you're here, or if you're in some other place, all of us go through hard times, but God will always take care of us. And His plans are good, and they're perfect. And so those two promises have been such a blessing in our lives. Well, we have these eternal promises. We have these eternal promises. Now just like the four lepers, we cannot remain silent. We have the greatest news in all the world that we are saved in Christ, that we know the gospel and in His word that says that whoever believes in Christ and His finished work on the cross has eternal life. That's a promise from God. And it says we have eternal life. And that's one thing I was mentioning to one of our friends of how just this verse that almost everybody knows, John 3:16, right? If you start to talk about that, they say, oh yeah, I know that verse. Okay, let's think about this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but has everlasting life. The moment that you believe, you have eternal life that won't end. It's eternal. It's everlasting. This is the greatest news of all times. And we know it. We know it personally. So the application today from this story about the Syrians and the Israelites is that the four lepers said, we cannot remain silent. We have to share this with someone. Look at all this food. Look at all this stuff in here, in this tent. It is loaded with stuff that we haven't seen for so long. I mean, we haven't eaten in how long? They were blessed, and God performed a miracle, and God performed a miracle in each of our lives. I am so grateful for the one who shared Christ with me. I was about 20 years old, 21 years old, and I met someone at work who, during our breaks, he shared Christ with me. And we'd talk about verses, and then we'd work and so forth, and another break time, we'd talk about the Lord some more. And he just kept on sharing verses. And so there's people all over that need to hear about Christ. And so this is the challenge for each of us today, is to share the greatest news that we have. Share it with somebody. And share what's happened to you. Share it with someone, because we have this great treasure of the gospel. And this is actually is what the Lord would have the church to do, is to reach out. And just like the song that we sang together, here am I, you know, here am I. And so this is what I need to do every day. And I know it, just like you or anybody else, we all have fears. And we think, well, yeah, if I share this, and then that's, I mean, the person might not accept it, or they might get angry at me or something, or I might feel fear or whatever. But I know we all have these feelings. But the fact of the matter is, there's people all over who need Christ, and we have the greatest news to share with them. So let's be like the four lepers who share the good news with others. Well, I just wanted to share that this morning. It's been a blessing to look at this story here in 2 Kings chapter 6 and chapter 7. And in the rest of our time, we like to share a little bit about what the Lord has been doing in our lives. We went to Brazil in 1980. It sure doesn't seem that long. It seems like a really short time. And when we were faced with this health issue, and now I have to do blood work. It's once a month, and I have to do a CT scan every 2 months. And so we came to the conclusion that we couldn't go back to Brazil anymore and serve there. And our hearts were broken. Our hearts were broken because their family, our co-workers there, and our Brazilian friends, the Lord has blessed us through all these, 39 years there, and it was just hard to say goodbye. In June of this year, we went back to Brazil to say goodbye and to get rid of our stuff and everything, and so we had this huge change in our lives, and we were thinking, okay, well, we can't go back to Brazil. And so we know that as the Lord closes one door, he opens another. And you know this is true in your own life. And if you are in a situation where the Lord has maybe closed a door on something, you can be assured the Lord will open another door for you. And this is what's happened to us. And so we arrived there in Florida, and our mission there asked us if we would be willing to serve on the staff at the Missionary Retirement Center. And you may ask, well, what is the Missionary Retirement Center? I mean, what happens there? Or what goes on? Or what is this? Well, there's 147 missionary retirees that live there. And they've served on fields all over the world. I think somebody had made the count that they have served in 22 countries. And so the missionaries that are living there, some are over 90 years of age, and so they need care. And others that are not quite that old. But I would like to show a video, if we can now. It's just a 5-minute video, and it's about 9 missionaries who went to the field years ago, and then when they retired. They retired, at this missionary retirement center, which is called NTM Homes. NTM Homes. And so this video just gives a little bit of an overview of these nine missionaries who went to the field, and then they retired there at the homes. They retired at there. And so if you would show us the video, please. Thank you. So these nine missionaries are an example of the missionaries that lived there. Some you see served 36 years, some 48. I'm not sure if there was one longer than that, but so this is what the Lord has placed in our hand. The door that He opened up for us is to care for these missionaries who have served on the field. And this place, I want to say something about this place. It's very special. It's a really nice place to live and everything, but one of the things that's really neat about it is that it's very affordable for the missionaries, because as you can imagine, the missionaries serve on the field, and it's very hard for them to invest in a house here in the U.S. while they're serving on the field. And so when they retire, they have no place to live. They don't have a house unless the Lord provides another way, but the mission decided to build this complex. And there's 51 duplexes there, and there's assisted living for the missionaries. And so this is a very affordable place for them. And how is that affordable? Well, none of the staff who serve there receive a salary. They are not paid in any way. And so that keeps the cost way down, because you don't have to pay for staff members. Our director and the leadership team there at the homes, no one receives money for serving there. Each one is responsible for their own support, just like it was for each of us when we were on the field. And so this is a way you can keep the cost way down. And that's so important, because in this phase in each of their lives, they have medical bills, like Frank was sharing about the medical things that crop up after a while, and so forth. And this is such a special place for these missionaries to live now. And so the Lord has given us this ministry of caring for these missionaries, and caring for them in spiritual ways, spiritual care for them. And that's by encouraging them and spending time with them and sharing the word as we're together, and to hear and to listen to them as we're with them, and also to help them with their physical needs. And sometimes the staff helps them to get to the doctor. Some aren't able to drive anymore themselves, and so we'll help to get them to the doctor. Or we'll help them with some kind of need in their apartment. They have something that goes wrong, and they've called me often about some kind of problem on their computer. I mean, I can't get my emails. Oh, can somebody come and help me with my emails? I can't get them anymore. And so go there and help them with that. Or they have other sorts of problems that's going on in any place where you would live. There's a problem with water, or the problem with their drain in their kitchen that's not working anymore, and all these things that can go on. Well, we're there to care for them. And so this is the new ministry that the Lord has given us, and it's been such a blessing. We've been there just a few months now. Actually, as staff members, we've been there actually living on the complex there since we arrived from Brazil. In fact, the leadership there at NTM Homes, when we arrived from Brazil, they said, well, we have this apartment that's available. Would you like to stay there? And so we were able to move in to a place, and it was such a blessing as we arrived from Brazil to have a place to move into. And so the Lord is so good. And for these missionaries who have served all of their lives on the field, and now they're not able to care for themselves, and so they need somebody to care for them. And a number of these missionaries who live at the retirement homes there, they have kids on the field yet. They have kids that are still serving on the field, and so their kids are able to continue on in the ministry because they know that someone is there to care for their parents. And so this is a tremendous help for them. And we just are praising the Lord for the fact that the Lord has blessed us all these these 39 years in Brazil, and there's still 180 tribes in Brazil that still do not know anything about Christ. And so that's why we went to Brazil in 1980, was because of these tribes, of these indigenous people who still know nothing about Christ. If someone could make a decision to go there to help, it'd be such a blessing. Each of these tribes have their own language, and so they can't hear the gospel on the radio because they won't understand it. And they can't pick up a copy of scripture and read it because they don't have the Bible in their language. And so you see the great need. And that's where the need is all around the world, but we are more familiar with what is going on in Brazil. But we thank you again so very much for your prayers. And we would just, in closing, just ask you to continue to pray for us and with our health situations, and also that the Lord would use us there to be a blessing to these missionaries who have served for so long. And we there at the homes, we say that we are serving those who served. And does that, not sure if that makes sense to you, but the missionaries there who have served all these years, now we're helping them and serving them. So thank you so very much. I'd like to just close in prayer, and then I'll turn it back over to Frank. Okay. Our Father, thank you so very much for showing us again today that we are ones with great news, and we need to share that with others, just like these four lepers share the good news about what they found, the food and the silver and gold and clothes and so forth. But all these things are not going to last, but you have blessed us with eternal blessings. Thank you so very much for blessing us in so many ways. And thank you, Father, for allowing us to have a part in your work in Brazil. And thank you for this church, for each one here who has prayed for us, who has been standing with us in the ministry for all these years. They have a part, too, in all of these blessings. We're so grateful to you, Father, for what you are doing in our lives and the fact that you love us with an everlasting love and that your plans for us are good and perfect. Thank you so much for all these blessings, and we commit the rest of today to you. In Jesus' name, amen.